He'll introduce his wife, and she'll be singing for us in a moment. But I want to tell you something. You know, there's a lot of men out there, a lot of men doing different things. But, you know, this guy comes with a heart just full of Jesus. And last night we were out to eat, and his wife was just giving a little testimony about her husband and what she was sharing about his integrity and his love for the Lord and how important that is. And I want to tell you something. To be out there and to be traveling, we need men of God with integrity. Amen? Amen. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Tell him that. Let's do a little T.D. Jakes. Tell him, get ready, get ready, get ready. Tell him that. Because evangelist Kenny Large is going to bring a word to you from the Lord this morning. So let's welcome him this morning. Amen?
Amen. Good to be back with you again here, and I was telling my wife about how great the church was last year when I was here, and I even told my son, I said, you can drink coffee inside the church. I said, the great thing is you don't even have to wear a tie, I mean, you know, and it's just good to be here. Let me introduce my son to us. Stand up, Shannon. He's all, Dad's going to do that.
This
girls,
is the Mac Daddy of Worthington,
Mac
Kentucky.
Mac Daddy of Worthington, Kentucky.
Give him a hand, everybody. Girls, he's got two girlfriends already, so calm down.
Girls, he is single. He, you know, he told me, he said he got rid of his girlfriend about a week or so ago, and I said, well, what happened? He said, well, she was getting on my nerves. I almost want to tell him then, you know, you might not want to get married for a while. No, just kidding. just teasing. See, I knew that. You also see, but you're all laughing because sometimes that happens with you. But then he finally, yesterday, he really told me the reason why they broke up. You know, he's driving and seeing her all the time. And he said, finally, Dad, she gets her license so she can come drive and see me. So I think they're kind of getting back together, I'm not sure. But he did share with us yesterday that he's planning on being a doctor. So, you know, girls, if you're looking for a doctor, a handsome young man, plays football, you know, he might be the one. So, you know, he might want might want to get it to know him. He'll be back at the tape table, and he'll be giving autographs, whatever you might need. You know. But good to be back with you. And Pastor did mention the newsletter is back there on the table. If you'd like to get one of those are free back there on the table. And there's several things back there with a card to fill out to get on our mailing list to help support us. Prayer card, please, would you everyone get one of these today? Prayer card with our website on it. Any of the information that's back there is on our website, largeministries.org, and some envelopes and things back there too. And then I am very pleased to be able to write my first of many books. Matter of fact, I'm working on my next book. I'm just getting started. And my second book is going to be titled, Is That the Truth? Question mark. And then I'm going to put absolutely, exclamation point. Because Jesus is the truth. Amen. No matter what you're going through, he helps you. How many know we serve a big God? Amen. His name is Jesus. And no matter what you're faced with, he'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll teach you and do anything, everything that you need for him. Amen. But I do have a book out called The Holy Spirit, My Number One Mentor, and several copies back there. And if someone would like to have this, I'll give this to you. If whoever would want it for free, just all you gotta do is lift your hand up and I'll give it to you. There's a lady like waving. She went the extra mile. She's like, hallelujah, here, you can come and get it. Amen. We'll bless you with that. Amen. God bless you. And we do come from Kentucky. As Pastor said, we attend church in Huntington, West Virginia at a Word of Faith church with Pastor Daryl Huffman. And some of you maybe that follow the Word of Faith movement and Word of Faith in Tulsa, Oklahoma with Pastor Hagen there. And we have a you know, in those kind of circles. And but God opens up tremendous door for us every year. And I believe this is a tremendous door, and I know I have something to share with you today. And I know the things that you're going to hear today is going to help you and bless you. Let's do one more thing. Let's all stand one more time. And I want you to lift your hands toward heaven. Both hands, if you're here and you've never done that, just lift your hands because the Lord made you to praise him. That's why he made us. He made us in his image, and he made us to do the things for him, to bless him, but not only to bless him, and he wants to bless us, but we are to be a blessing to other people. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now for every hand that's raised, every person here today. Lord, I bless them with your wonderful blessings, Lord, of the word, Lord, of your anointing of the Spirit, Lord, in their life. Lord, whatever they may have came through with today, Lord, of situations and circumstances, maybe in job, maybe in their family, maybe general in life. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, that does not know you and confess with their mouth as you are their Lord and Savior and believe that in their heart, I pray, Lord, today is their day. I pray today is their day. And Lord, I pray today if anybody's faced with circumstance of whatever, Lord, beyond their control, Lord, I pray, Lord, right now if they need healing in their body, that you are the supernatural God that will heal them. I pray you touch them right now. Minister to them. And Lord, whatever need we might have, Lord, today you're going to show us how we can get that from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn to your neighbor and give them a big high five. Amen. Amen.
I just thank God for what he's doing already, what he's already done this morning in the service. Hallelujah. It's nice to come to a church that knows how to praise the Lord. Amen. You don't have to rev you up and turn the crank 10 times and turn around and do a little dance, but y'all are ready. Amen.
Amen.
Ready to receive from the Lord this morning. And I just want to encourage you with a couple of scriptures today. The first is found in Psalms 118, and it is verse 24. You guys want to turn there? If not, I'm going to read it to you. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. You've heard this probably every day that you've been to church. I will rejoice. Everybody say, rejoice.
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 Yes, and be glad.
And be glad.
Aren't you glad? Doesn't it make you glad to rejoice in the Lord? You know, it makes the Lord so glad.
Amen.
When you rejoice in him. Hallelujah. He loves to hear your rejoice and your praise to him. And the last is found in Philippians, and it is in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, oh, guess what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
And you know, this scripture is not prefaced, or it doesn't, it's not introduced by saying, rejoice in the Lord always when things are going your way. Or rejoice in the Lord always when things are going good, when you got all your needs met. Doesn't say that, does it? It just says rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Always. That's right. When you're going through battles, when you're going through trials, rejoice in the Lord. Because you know what? Praise is the key to your victory. Hallelujah.
Yes,
do y'all agree with that this morning?
Yes.
Praise is the key to the breakthrough. Hallelujah. That's what gets God going. He loves to hear praise to Him. And you know He's worthy, isn't He?
Amen.
Yes. Can you just say amen one
yes.
more time?
Amen.
He's worthy. So
yes.
let's rejoice in Him again, shall we?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, again I say, rejoice.
You're worthy, Father.
Oh,
No matter where we go, you say that. That's what everybody says. Same thing all the time. No matter what state in, you may be seated. You all stand there looking at him like, is he going to make me sit down? Is he going to stand up? What's he going to do? God, amen. The Lord had spoke something in my heart a couple years ago, and I'm going to share a little bit of that with you today and some things that's been going on in our life. And I found out that we serve a big God, and if you hang around certain kinds of people, a lot of people think that God's a God that got a big ball bat in his hand and ready to hit you over the head every time you mess up. Has anyone ever messed up? Something's wrong with half of this congregation. Because a little bit of hands, I don't know if we started a wave or something. There was like a little fewer here and then it started getting bigger. But a lot of people just look at it like, oh my gosh, it's a trick question. But, you know, we've messed up. We've done some things wrong sometimes. We've missed it sometimes. But, you know, God's a great big God. And he's there to pick you up. He's there to help you. And so let's start out this morning and go to Proverbs chapter 23. And I'm going to share a few things with you from there. And then we'll go on to another scripture that the Lord has spoke to my heart. Now, depending on what translation that you do have, Pastor told me that we need to be out of here in time for the ball game. Amen. I you know, all the Colts fans are real, real happy today. Do we have any Colts fans? We have some Bears fans. I see some Chicago Bears stuff. Is there anyone like my team that didn't make the playoffs? The Denver Broncos are not there, you know. I was like, you know, how, you know, so, you know, don't be starting fights there, Chicago Bears fan. You know, we do believe in laying on of hands. We won't do it suddenly. We'll do it quickly, and we will remove you. No, we're just kidding. But the Lord spoke this to my heart, and about 2 years ago, the Lord gave me 3 or 4 words to write down for me to study. And I assumed at that time that I would study them right away and get into them and read them and, you know, find out like I do and get definitions and kind of put all scriptures together and do some things and pray about it. But I put that in my little PDA that I carry with me on the road and had it with me. And every now and then as I look at the task that I would have to do, and that was on that task. And finally I didn't. I never really done anything with it, but I had that out there and the date that I put it in. And then at the each year I pray for a theme for the year. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak on this year and talk about this year? And he brought my mind back to think about those words again. And I went back and looked at those words and began to pray and study about them. And the Lord spoke that this year, that 2007, is a year of 1,000 times more. And I just found out Monday that a pastor in Colorado, a friend of mine that's a traveling evangelist that attends his church, said that he'd done a study somewhere, found it or somewhere, that 2007 is the year on the Jewish calendar to be the prosperity year. Now, when we think of prosperity, a lot of people think of just money, but I'm here to tell you the prosperity message many times is preached wrong. And it's not just about money, because I'm here to tell you prosperity in God, there's things that money cannot buy. I don't care how much money you have, you cannot buy total joy. You can have all the money in the world and you cannot buy total peace. You can have all the money in the world and it will not buy happiness. Now I know some of you think like now, right now, oh yes it would. Sometimes we look at people like that and we'll see someone with the biggest house over there and we'll look over there and say, man, them people's got to be unhappy. That big house. When their bedroom, your house will sit inside their bedroom. But in the reality of that is, you know, we think of money, we think of prosperity, but, you know, we talk about those lines, and I'm here to tell you that we've got to get our thinking in the right perspective. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart," what's it say? "So is he." So as a person thinks, that how you think is that's how you're going to become. Is there anyone in here this morning saved? Some of you don't know yet. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll have a big altar call tonight. This morning we'll have a whole bunch of people saved. But we got to think of that. There was a program on CNN. Larry King has some people on. They were psychologists. They were, you know, different medical field people, their doctors and some nurses and things, and a whole bunch of other people that were there. And all the people, they didn't present, you know, they didn't say that, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the things of the Bible, I believe in church, I believe in religion. They didn't say none of that. But what they did say is that in their profession, that they have found that the way people think, that's how they are. Now, these are people that are not Christian people that are saying this. That I, you know, they didn't announce that. And I thought about that. You know, the Bible talks about you can think yourself well, and what do you think you are? If you go around speaking in the initial act of faith, when your mouth gets moving, everything else in your life begins to move either toward that or from that. Now, if you speak prosperity, if you speak blessings, if you're speaking sickness or problems, I mean, you know, I a couple years ago, my son came home, and I think he was either a freshman then or something. He came home, and I can remember the day of the month it was. It was in February. Kind of a little bit, you know, the winter months where we live in Kentucky, it still gets cold, we get some snow, and he came home, and that day it was kind of warm out. He said, "Dad, let's go play some basketball." So I went out there, I played basketball, went to 24, him and one of his friends was over playing, and when I got done, I won, because I'm a competitive person. I wasn't going to let him win. Just because he's younger than me, just because he's a little bit smarter than me, he's trying to beef up and get strong as me, he's getting close. But I wasn't just going to let him win. And I remember when I got done, my face was red. I was sweating. I slowly made it into the house. And when I got into the house, I went in and I plopped down, and Kathy said, "What, are you okay?" "Yeah." She's a nurse. "Do I need to call 911? Do I need to do CPR on you? Or, you know, are you okay?" I'm sweating all red. And I said, "No, I just got done playing basketball, but I won." And I thought, this is crazy. I'm so out of shape that 40 years old, I can't play a game of basketball to 24 without sucking for air. And I thought, well, I'm gonna make a change in my life. So I went upstairs and got that clothes hanger we call the treadmill and cleaned it off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you laughing because the exact same thing yours is. Throw those clothes over top of it. Man, it's a good-looking treadmill. Man, somebody ought to use that. We will. We'll throw clothes on it. And I got it cleaned up. And I remember the first day I started doing that, and I was getting on that treadmill, you know, and you know, I love to run and outside and stuff, but I'm on this treadmill, and I'm looking, and you know, they got that timer on there, and that's one of the craziest things when they put that timer on there, because you're looking, you're starting out, and you're going, and all you look down and say, 30 seconds? That's all I've got. And then you're like, you know, and then, you know, 1.09 miles, and you're like, well, I haven't even hardly moved. Yeah, cover it up. That's what I do now. I get a towel and cover it up. Then I remember, I thought, well, you know what? Enough of this treadmill stuff. I'm going to get over here and get on the weights. I got me a weight bench, and I'm going to get me on the weights. And I get there, I'm thinking positive, man. I'm thinking like big. Yeah, let's lift weights. So I get on there and stick some weights on, you know, a bunch of weights. And I get down there on the bench, loosen myself up, get up there and go. Can't move it. So I have to take some weights off. And finally, if you saw me working out, I'm like, my gosh, son, can't you lift nothing? But see, we got to realize there's things that we've got to do in life. As God speaks things to us, we've got to get in position to receive them. Now, you can sit here and, you know, as much as you want, you can go outside. If you drive a Ford, we have drive a Ford Freestar, you can lay your hands on that Ford Freestar. You can anoint it with oil. You can pray it to be a BMW, a Mercedes, you know, pimp my ride, whatever you want to call it. But it's still going to be a Ford Freestar, okay? But in us, the Lord says, what we think is what we become. If we want to be a blessing to someone, we've got to say, Lord, I am a blessing to someone. And see, one of the issues that I see around the world is many people get, because we've heard negative talk. We've heard how God is a judgmental God. We've heard of how bad things are. But I'm here to tell you today, listen, God is a great big God. He loves you with all. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. And he put scripture in and he said, whatever you think is what you are. It's what you will become. See, our thinking or our mind is what will make us to be overcomers. How are you thinking? What are you thinking about? We've got to be sure and steadfast. We've got to act, talk, and think as if it's already, listen, it's already yours even before you see the answer. Some people here, if you're praying for your unsaved loved one, speak faith. They're saved. They're coming in. I'm believing it. See, keep believing before the reality comes. But see, we look at this and we think of these things and we think of how the Lord, you know, does things in our life. And I'm here to tell you, see, we need to get faith back in the body of Christ so we're no longer afraid to step out. We've got to get faith back in the body of Christ. See, we need to get out of the boat, we need to get out of the box, and we need to get busy for God. See, at the same time, we need to be full of faith and confident that God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Turn with me to right real quick to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. See, one thing we've got to realize is we have to, if you are not willing to miss it, you will never hit it. Sometimes we'll miss it. But anytime you miss it trying to obey God, God's got you covered. Say that with me. Say, God's got me covered. See, he's got you covered. He knows sometimes we might miss. He knows sometimes because our emotion plays in. We know that because sometimes we favor some people. You know, some of you that have, you know, more than one child, you know, they're always saying, you just like them better than me. Well, no, you know, you happen to be the oldest one. We kind of let you have everything. And now the other ones don't, you know, we've learned some things. Hallelujah. But here's a scripture here. I want you to look at this scripture. Psalm 37, verse 23 and through 25. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Listen to this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly what? Cast down. Did you notice that? Though he fall. You ought to underline. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord, what's it say? Upholdeth him with his hands. When we miss it, God says, I've got you covered. I'm not going to cast you down. I'm not going to be negative and think, you know, I mean, have you ever had someone when you missed it and you messed up and they looked at you and went, I told you so. I told you you were going to mess up. Did she ever tell you that? I picked a good couple here to pick on right here. Hallelujah. But there's times and times when we think, you know, but God says, I've got you covered. How does God cover us? He covers us with salvation. And the word salvation is that he died for you, that God gave his very, very best, his only son, Jesus, and he came into a world, died on a cross for you. But not only did it stop there, he said, I'm going to give you all these blessings. Healings for you. Prosperity is for you. Joy is for you. Peace is for you. Happiness is for you. Come on now. All these things, you take them all and put them in a basket. And matter of fact, you can just go in and say, Lord, I want that. I want part of that. And then it goes on to verse 25, says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You are the seed of God. See, you are the seed of God. And God said, I made you. You're my seed. Go back, you know, do all the way back to beginning, all the way back to Adam and Eve and how he made Adam and Eve and all the things. See, we are God's seed. And how many knows your children are important to you? Even though sometimes they mess up. But I try to teach myself and my family that we've got to get into position to be ready to receive from God. My son plays football, and you know, one of the things they work on all the time is being in the right place at the right time. If you're going to be, you know, if you're playing a defensive back, which he does, and you know, you got to be ready to intercept the pass, to catch the guy around the corner when he comes around the corner, or if you're a receiver or quarterback or running back or whatever it might be, you've got to be in position to be where you need to be at the right time. And I want to teach you today that in order to be in position, you've got to think the right way. So how a man thinks, so is he. What you think about yourself? What you think about your family? What you think about the people that God has put around you? And I wrote this down. See, this is not a God, you know, a God that is going to just destroy you every time you mess up. See, because the God that I serve, he's big enough to take care of me when I do mess up. And he picks us up and he puts us on the right path. And if we are doing our very best to follow him, he will look at us and say, I've got the best for you. His name's Jesus. And I've got you covered. And be real, sometimes we're going to miss it along the way. But if we do not, see, listen, we do not have to live in fear of missing him, because we can live in faith by following him. See, let me say that again. We do not have to live in fear of missing him, but we can live in faith by following him. See, we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, so therefore God does not watch over us and take care of us only because we walk right. God watches over and takes care of us because we are right. We are in right standing with him. We are the righteousness of God. Adam began a while ago, said, who knows who they are in Christ? Who knows what you have in Christ? Who knows the things that God has given you? And the only way you're going to find out is spend time with him. The only way you're going to find out is to get this word. And now listen, I've been in some places. Now, how many of you have a King James Version? How many have an NIV Version? New Living Translation? All of them. Amplified? I got them all too. And I mentioned from New King James Version. But see, it does. Sometimes we get all tore up on certain kinds of translations. I've been in places sometimes where they want you to read from a certain translation and they don't take anything else. Y'all been there. Been in the same church. But see, however God wants to get it to you, and however he gets it to us and through to us, then when he gets it through to us, we can do our part and get it through to others. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 6:8 says, whatever you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So if you help someone, God's supernatural is going to help you. Last year in 2006 was a theme for the year of the supernatural. We saw some supernatural things happen in our life. We saw some supernatural things happen in our ministry. We saw many people saved. I was telling Pastor last night, I think 100 and, I don't know, maybe it was over 100, 120, 130 people total saved at the services we were at. I remember one time, not too far from here in Chicago, one Sunday morning, I gave the altar call, and 40 people came to be saved. I gave the altar call as I was praying with my eyes open, looked up, and there were 40 people at the altar. But in order for you to be able to tell someone about salvation, you've got to get it for yourself. In order for you to speak about revival, in order for you to speak about faith, in order for you to speak about the righteousness of God, in order for you to speak about in him and who you are and the things you have, you've got to get it inside you. And I'm going to share a few things about faith with you this morning. See, God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. And they do not trade places. Amen? And bad things, listen, we say this many times, but it's not scriptural. Bad things do not work together for good. See, but we say, oh, bad things work together for those that are... No, see, good and bad can't go together. The Bible says God works to the good of ourselves. And he works that. There's a scripture in Romans that backs that up. You know, I don't have time to go and read it, but when you look at that, that he works those things out for our good. He works things out for our good. It does not say, well, I'm going to work those things out for your bad. No. And we think sometimes, well, you know, the devil and God's up there, we're working together. God looked over and said, all right, let's go make that guy sick. We'll just show him. That'd be a good thing, God. Let's just go do it. No, they don't talk like that. But we think they do sometimes. Well, you know, God put this sickness on me just to show me something. Oh, the Lord put me in the hospital so I can witness to somebody. Baloney. Don't you think God can speak to you sitting at your desk at your work and say, go pray for that person in the hospital? Yet we think, well, you know, the Lord just had to make me sick so I can go witness to them. Uh-uh. Not kind of God I serve. Jesus wants us so well, so full of the Holy Spirit, that he can speak to it, and we are fine-tuned, know exactly what to do when he speaks. For you that are married, how many of you right now, sometimes you know when your wife looks at you a certain way, you know exactly what she's going to say? Pastor's saying, uh-uh. But our wives know how we're going to act and things. We get to know them. We know our kids. We know how they're going to do. And kids are the best about trying to play both parents. You know, Mom, can I go there? No, you cannot go there. I told you not going there. Don't you ask me. Daddy, can I go? Oh, sure, baby. Go ahead and go. And they go. And then, you know, Mom says, where that? Well, I said, let her go down the road. Well, she asked me, and I told her no. Well, I told her yes, and she's gone. Now what are we going to do? We're in trouble. But kids know how to do that. And we do the same thing as adults. We try to play things. But listen to me, folks. This word right here will never, ever fail you. But we got to have enough faith in it to realize that, see, we need to get in great faith. We need to get our eyes on Jesus and your feet on the word. Then boldly step out of the boat knowing that if you fail, God will lift you up, take care of you, and uphold you with his great big hand. And this is faith. This is what faith is. Faith itself, there's a bunch of definitions, but faith is our personal attendant. Faith is our personal servant, listen, to help us to make the message of Jesus Christ to work in our life and to work in our ministry. Faith is a servant. Now, we look at that and think, well, no, you know, faith never. Yeah, but see, and we think about faith. As we think of what faith is in the realm of what faith is doing in our life, we got to understand that faith is our personal tenet, and real faith involves stepping out, believing God for what you know to be his will. That's what faith is. Lord, I heard from you. I know what you want me to do. And Lord, I'm stepping out and doing it. Finding out God's will regarding your need and trusting him to bring it to pass, and believing God that what you said, God, is what you meant. And what you meant and what you said to me, I'm going to trust you to do exactly what you said and what you meant. See, acting like his word is true. Faith is acting like his word. Lord, this word's true. I'm believing it. And Lord, you spoke this word to me. And Lord, I've seen, maybe some people here are unsaved. Like, Lord, I've seen some people that really not live out the way you want. See, we judge people sometimes by what we see people do. But yet sometimes we don't know when they're alone in their house, when they're away from everybody else, how they're talking to God. And even sometimes in an evangelist, we sometimes want to judge people because of how many people come forward. But I'm here to tell you, there's been people saved in their seats without coming up forward, being forward at the altar. See, we always look, well, you know, and what that is, that, you know, coming up here is taking a step of faith. But see, the word of faith needs to get on our lip. Think who we are. Then begin to say who we are. Get it on our lip. And then we begin to get it in our heart. Listen, faith never gets tired, but it does get hungry. Our faith doesn't ever get tired, but it does. What do we have to do with our faith? We got to feed it. How does faith come? We know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. How do we get that? We get it by hearing praise and worship CDs. We get it by speaking the Word. We get it by hearing preaching CDs. We get it by hearing the pastor. We get it by hearing the youth pastor. We get word. See, we get words. He speaks. We're feeding that faith. Really what we're like those little baby birds are going like this. Feed me, feed me. But see, what happens a lot of times is because of the things that we're faced with in the world, with our family sometimes, with our jobs, pressures of life. Listen, folks, we live in 2007. Life sometimes is not easy. I mean, there's so many things going on that bide our time. There's so many things we do this and we look at life. And sometimes I wonder, how come we live in a world in 2007 and yet we don't spend the time we need to with God to get what we really need when He already has it there available for us? And then sometimes we will complain and grumble and, oh, you know, I do this and do that. But see, our faith and our prayers, listen, need to be kingdom issues, not personal or selfish motivation. See, because a lot of people use the prosperity message for selfish motivation. Right? I'm not telling you anything new, and I'm not coming here today and saying I have something brand spanking new to tell you today, and no one's never heard it. No. This is a message that's been around a long, long time. And the message is God sent His only Son for you and has provided everything for you that you need. And God began to stir some things up in my heart today to talk to you. See, we need to not pray the problem, but we need to pray the answer. And see, here's some questions I want to ask you today. What's the greatest miracle God could do for you today? Salvation is a great answer. But just think of you personally. Maybe you're already saved today. What's the greatest miracle that He could do for you? What do you dream of doing with your life? What do you dream of becoming in this world? What blessings are you pursuing? Listen, whatever you pursue and whatever you begin to go after is what's going to master your thoughts. If you want to be the best in whatever that you want to be in, you've got to spend time doing it. I told you earlier that I started lifting weights, and around Christmas I had got a little bit of sickness and I wasn't feeling well at all. And we always go to one of our friends that does my website, and we go there for New Year's every year, and we were getting ready to leave, and I was saying, well, man, do I go? I'm sick. I don't really want to, you know, pass this along to anyone else. I just need to maybe stay here. And finally I started feeling better on Thursday, and then we left, and when I got there I got sick again, so I was gone a few days, and so I was not able to lift weights and do the things that I needed to do. So I just started back up right after the first of the year, and I was weak and didn't have my strength that I needed, and I got it back in and started. So I went back to my chart, because I chart everything that I do when I work on certain muscles and how much weight I use, and I went back and grabbed those certain kinds of weights. When I got down, there was no one home, which was crazy on my part for not letting someone spot me. But I'd done the first one, and I'd done a certain kind of weight, and I was trying to get 10 in the first. I couldn't even get 10 in. I got 8. And then I thought, well, man, I can do that. I can do it. I can do it. I got on the second rep, getting ready to start, and I got to 4 and could not move that bar. I was stuck, and the only one there was my little 14-month-old son, and he couldn't move it. And I was imagining a picture. Here I am laying on a bench, and that bar is in my neck, and I'm going like, oh, 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 help me, help me. I'm crazy crawling out from underneath the weight, and I get it over so it won't fall on the floor and doing those things. It's crazy because I could have got, you know, hurt. It was stupid on my part. But I found out that same way, and when I done that this last week, the Lord spoke to me, it's the same way with our faith. If we don't feed our faith on a daily basis, if we don't feed our faith because our faith gets hungry. Some people ask me all the time, say, Kenny, why do you have to go to church all the time? Why do you have to go to church every Sunday? Why do you have to go to church on Wednesday? Why do you have to go to cell groups? Why do you have to go to youth groups? Why do you have to go to prayer services? Why do you have to go pray? Why? I mean, you know, sure, there's something else to do besides read the Bible. And why do I want to read books? Books are boring. No, they're not boring when you get a hold of the faith message. They're not boring when you get something that's out there that you want. So I began to look at all these things and think about these things, about the greatest miracle that God can do for me. And listen, what would you attempt? I'm going to ask you this question. What would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you attempt to do if you knew beyond a shadow that you couldn't fail? See, it may appear unattainable. It may even seem impossible. Yet the picture persists within you. And there's a reason that, because you see, God begins every miracle in your life with a picture, with a thought, with an idea, with a vision, with a dream, with a plan. Everything that He plants that seed inside you. How did this church come about? Planted a seed inside this man. Some people say, well, he's crazy doing what he's doing. We all know he's crazy. I got an amen from the pastor's wife. Hallelujah. But see, we look at that sometimes, but in that, God puts that seed inside you. Because you, number one, it's faith. You trust in God. But then you're believing, God, what you said, I'm going to see it happen. Now, you know, I don't know everything going on in the church, but I do know that you all have bought some property. Property's paid for. I know some people say, well, let's just go ahead and build a building on it, man. Go, no. See, because God's given direction to the pastor. God's given direction to the leadership that they want to do it in the right way, the way God wants them to do. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we look back as a congregation and think, well, you know, why are we not doing this, doing that? But see, when you're in leadership, you got to make sure, because this pastor and these leaders are leading all of you all. And they want to lead you in the right way. Okay? But I think about, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? But see, we think about this, and what this is a visible ideal that brings birth a visible blessing. Because when we see something like that, our dreams and our desires begin as photographs within our hearts and within our minds, and things that we want to see happen in our future, God plants these in our life. And he begins to plant these things in, but see, what happens is your enemy tries to attack you. The devil tries to attack you. And when we look at that, see, attacks reveal that your enemy fully believes you are capable of obtaining your goal. That's why he comes against you. He comes against you because, because he knows that person can do it. Now I got to go get him. It's happened to me. And then you all have been in church and you've heard people stand up and testify and say, the devil was chasing me last night. Well, you hear that testimony, and say, well, gosh, I don't want to be no part of the kingdom of God. I don't want to be, it's the devil's chasing him. I mean, I'm out here doing all my wild stuff. The devil's not bothering me. But yet in that, where's your life? Where are you going to spend eternity? Some people say, well, I don't want nothing part of that religious thing. I don't want nothing part of God. I don't want nothing part of church because, you know, the devil's going to chase him. He's leaving me alone. But listen to this as these attacks. Your enemy would not waste their ammunition. The enemy would not waste time, effort, and finances if they thought your dreams or goals were impossible. Right now, people in here right now are thinking some big things. I'm believing some big things for you. I'm believing that 2007 is going to be the best year of this church. Now, you all have had some great years before, but I'm believing 2007 is going to be greatest. And I'm just not talking finances. I'm talking about your loved ones coming in one right after another. I'm praying that every person in this fishbowl is coming in. Every picture that's in here is coming in. You might be here today and your name might be in there. I'm looking forward that you can say, take my name out of there. Amen? So we look at this and see we got, this is going to be a great year. But see, if your enemy believes in your future, so should you. If he believes in your future, why don't you believe in it? Philippians says this, 4:13, I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. When you announce your goals, you will discover your enemies. Satan wants to focus on the battle, wants you to focus on the battle, but God wants you to focus on the rewards of the battle. You want me to tell you the best battle is one you don't have to fight? God fights it for you. He even says, remember the story back in the Old Testament, maybe you don't, sometimes I say that, remember, because some people don't always read. But Abraham's son needed a wife. And he told his servant, go find this boy a wife. And he said, well, where do I know? How do I know where to go? How do I know who it's going to be? And Abraham made a profound statement. He said, God will send his angels ahead of you. God will send angels and let you know. He's going to send out and get everything ready. And what I term that to be is get in position. To be ready to receive from that. God is going to give my son a godly wife, a wife that's going to be a good helpmate to him, and I'm sending you out there ahead of time, and the angels are going ahead of you before you even get there. So I thought about this year, and the 1,000 times more, I'm going to give you one more scripture, I'm going to tell you a couple stories, and I'm going to give an altar call. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 8 through 10. I don't have time to get in all this today. But I had to share with you, you've got to think how you are. You've got to get in faith. And you've got to feed your faith. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8 says, Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Okay, not just to them, but to what? Their seed after them. And verse 9 says, And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you. Y'all, if you've got a highlighter or a pencil, underline that word multiplied. And it says, And behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord your God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. He's blessed. See, he says, I'm making you 1,000 times more. Now, we look at the story, the justice story, and what happened. Moses was out there, remember, in the wilderness. He was out there, and he was trying to solve everybody's problems. How many know we cannot solve everybody's problems? How many know you're not the answer to everybody's problem? I mean, I know I came to the realization that, you know, every place that I go, I'm not for everybody. You're not for everybody. We have sometimes, we look at people. Well, you know, we look at somebody and we're like, I don't really like the looks of that man. I don't like the way he looks. So you don't even give him a chance. I just don't like the way his hair is. He's got that gray going on. See, we think, I don't like the way, you know, they're dressed. I don't like the way they do this. But see, we got to realize we're all different. And why are we different? So we can reach the kinds of people that God wants us to reach. But we've got to get our thinking and our believing right in the right way. And he says here that Moses is trying to work all the problems. Then his father Jethro comes on the picture and says, Moses, what are you doing? Well, I'm just trying to work out everybody's problems. I'm just trying to help everybody. And Jethro says, Boy, let me give you some advice here. Let me give you some wisdom. Let me speak some wisdom into your life. Set some people in order. You take care of maybe the hard problems, but, you know, get some men, you know, that are full of the Holy Spirit and trust you, and you teach them, and then let them take care of some of the problems. And then the Lord spoke here and said, You know what? I'm going to put leaders and point them to help you, Moses. And God said, You know, your fathers, I swear to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and their seed after them. And he says, I'm going to multiply you 1,000 times more. Let me tell you a couple stories. the end of the year, me and my wife went, of last year, went to a church in Western Kentucky. A lady gave my wife a card about a pregnancy, teen pregnancy center. And we both felt that we needed to sow a seed into that ministry. So I said, you know, so I began to pray about this 1,000 times more, how God was going to increase. So I said, I'm going to sow a $1,000 seed into that ministry. I wrote the check on January the 3rd, sent it out, put a note in, said, we want to bless you with this seed. Take it, use it wherever you want to use it. 4 days later, we got an unexpected check in the mail for $2,000. God will bless your seed. God will bless you. And I began to see other things. There was a story around the Louisville, Kentucky area where a gentleman had came to a church. Pastor there was preaching on healing. They didn't lay hands on anybody. They didn't pray for anybody. This man went out, walked out of the service, went on out, went home, went, got back home, wrote a check for the church for $200,000. And the church, after about a month later, the check hadn't cleared the bank, and he called the church. He said, hey, I sent you all a check for $200,000. Did you get it? Well, the secretary said, no, if we got a $200,000 check, we'd know it. Matter of fact, everybody would know it. She said, let me let you talk to the pastor. Pastor got online. He said, no, you know, we didn't get no check. And the guy said, I'll tell you what, I'm writing you another check today for $400,000. So he wrote him a check. 2 weeks later, both checks arrive in the post office box the exact same day. So the pastor's standing here with a $200 check, $400,000 check, and he's saying, well, which one do I cash? So he calls the guy. He said, I got both checks now today. What do I do with them? He said, cash them. He said, matter of fact, today I'm writing you a check for $1 million. True story. But now here's the kicker. You know what the church done with the money? Gave it away. Like you're sitting there thinking, like, gave it away. These are some things that are going on right now. If you all, ever watch Larry Huck on TV, Pastor Tiz and Larry Huck, let me tell you a story of what happened there. This guy goes to their church. He's preaching on breaking generational curses. Jesus has already done those for us, but we've got to receive them. So this guy goes in. He goes in, and he says, I need some money. I need some help. And they help him. They pray for him. They break this generational curse. This guy goes out the very next day, buys a car. Has very little money. He says, I can give you $50 a month till I pay this car for $400. It's $400. 2 weeks later, he's driving down the road and the car breaks down. He's like, now what do I do? He goes to an auto parts store. They can't find a part. No one has it. They call this place. He said, here's a number. Call this place out in California. He calls this guy in California. He says, my car's broke down. This is what I have. And he says, you have what car? He says, yeah, that's what. He said, go out and read me the vehicle identification number. He goes out, writes it down, gives it to him on the phone. The guy says, call me back tomorrow. The guy says, hey, wait a minute, what about my part? He says, call me back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Picks up the phone, calls him the next morning at 10 a.m. And the guy on the other side of the phone says, you've got this car. I can offer you right now $15 million for that car. Now, I was telling somebody the story the other day, and they looked at me and said, did they sell the car? I looked at them and said, stupid. Now, those are money stories, how God wants to bless us 1,000 times more. And I've got more stories. I'm on top of more stories. But I'm here to tell you, when you understand the faithfulness of God, understand you being faithful and using your faith, that whatever you give to anybody, but listen, not always just money, your time. What about giving efforts in the church? What about giving the things up? What about, you know, spending time? See, let me go back to that scripture, Ephesians 6:8. Whatever you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. If someone that you know needs to be saved in your family, what you ought to do is go make that happen for somebody else. Because when you do that, God supernaturally makes it happen for you. Matter of fact, you read that scripture, it says whether you be bound or free, bond or free. Whether you, matter of fact, that's a supernatural law that God says, I will do it for you. Listen, folks, there are some miracles that's getting ready to happen in your life, and they're in the works right now. I believe that with all my heart. The message that the Lord has spoken to me is to tell you that it's 1,000 times more this year. I don't know what the justice of a thousand. I was at a church in Salyersville, Kentucky, Wednesday. Then had not spoken. Matter of fact, I had not even spoken to the pastor since the day that he booked me, which was in around December. I had a Wednesday night open. He had called me and said, I want you to come preach. He didn't know what I was preaching. Didn't know that. I didn't even tell him what I was preaching. Got up to preach. When I got done preaching, he said, Kenny, you did not know this. Says the congregation, they were getting ready to pay off a building so they can build the next building. They were wanting people to give $1,000 seeds. Supernaturally. God spoke to me to tell them. Now, listen to me. I'm not here to tell you today to say, Kenny, are you wanting $1,000 to sow into the church? No, I'm not saying that. But if God speaks that to you, you should do it. Why? Because when God speaks something to you, he's trying to get something through you. And when he speaks that to you and you show that, see, that's why it's so important to be faithful with your giving, with your time, with your tithes, with your offerings, and bless people, because God says, when you do that, remember what he said here? Your father Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. I got my Bible at one time and read all through the Old Testament where it would say, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. What does he mean that? How many knows Abraham was a blessed man? Isaac was a blessed man. Jacob was a blessed man. Why? Because of the favor of God. I'm praying this year, fog in your life. What's fog? Favor of God. Matter of fact, I got a blessing yesterday. I went because Kathy had forgot her iPod. We were coming through Cincinnati, and I said something, and she said, you know what? I plan forgot my music. First time in it. We've been traveling since 1988. First time she ever done that. I started freaking out. Oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Called the hotel we were staying at, started getting bookstores, numbers, and calling them, and called pastors, and what can we do? Kathy went and bought some CDs that she sung today. She was upset because, she's mother's song she really wanted to sing, but we didn't have them. We were already 2.5 hours away. What do? Do I turn around? So we finally got to the bookstore and went into the bookstore, and I was looking for a book. And a lady came in, and I said, I'm looking for a book. She said, we don't have it yet. But she said, hold on. Went back in the back because they had some kind of pastor's thing this last week or 2 weeks ago and gave me the book for free along with 3 other books. She said, well, you might use some of you right now. She said, just by chance. She said, nuh-uh. Favor of God. I'm here to tell you, this is what I'm believing for you this year. You're going to let pastor know that 2007 is going to be a year of favor and a year of faith. And miracles are going to happen in your life so quick. Matter of fact, what you need to do is write them down and share them with other people. Because what does that do? That builds their faith. Because listen, God says he's no respecter of persons. What he does for him will do for her. Get our faith right. Get where we need. And listen, I'm here to tell you today that if you're not in position to receive from God, if you're not saved, you're in a good place today. If you maybe struggled and you maybe just getting by, you maybe went through this and through that, you're in a good place today because God's here to show you he's a great big God. He cares for you. He loves you. And get this, even with your issues, he still loves you. Does anybody in here have issues? Even with our... See, I've got issues sometimes. Family, I've got issues sometimes. And a lot of times they're my issues. They're problems I have. But even with our issues, Jesus still loves you. And matter of fact, even though he knows how you might even act, before you act, but he still loves you. That's the God I serve. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I got other things I'd like to share with you, but we're running short on time. as they're coming, I'm going to play a song. And as they're preparing, this is the words that I wrote down a few years ago. I wrote down the word increase. I wrote down the word abundance. I wrote down the word multiplied. I wrote down the word enlarge, expand. I wrote down the word overflow. I wrote down the word more. I wrote down the word provision. And all of those words really mean one thing, that our intensity level is going to rise. We're going to be more intense. We're going to be more. This is what I'm praying for your church, and what I've been praying all week long. That I'm praying this church gets so intense, so full of the things of God, so full of faith, so full of the good things of God, that God's a good God, that you don't keep it to yourself. You share it with everybody you see. And it's not that you're going to cause a big go to the grocery store and throw a big Pentecostal fit and think you have to speak in tongues and get your hair all pinned up in a bun. Knock over the milk and make the people at Kroger's all mad because you made a mess. And man, I'm praying for that person. I cast that demon out. Yeah, you also spilled our milk. But you can very simply be like Peter. When Peter walked down the street and his shadow touched them. Each one of us know that need people to be healed. With people us know that there's marriages need to be put back together. There's families that need to be put back. There's family of divorced kids that need, the kids are hurting. There's family issues. There's work problems. All these about here. Listen, God's a good God. He can take care of all of them for you. Overflow, abundance, and more. Bow your head with me and close your eyes. I want no one at all looking around right now. Is there anyone that says, Kenny, I'm here today and I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never been saved. Would you just pray for me? Would you lift your hand up and say, Kenny, pray for me? Come on, be honest. Pray. I see that. Anyone else? Anyone else? As I scan in the crowd. Anyone else? I see that one. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else here? Would you be man or woman enough to step out and say, Kenny, I'm going to come up this altar and I want someone to teach and show me how I need to be saved. I want to change my life. See, one thing that God won't do, He won't go against your will. If you want that, He will do it. He won't make you do that. Is there anyone at all to say, Kenny, I want to do that right now. I want to make that step of faith. Is there anyone at all? Anyone at all? Any other hands that need to be raised? Anyone at all? Lord, I pray for that hand that was raised. I pray, Lord, that the message that you put in my heart today is to challenge them. I pray, God, you'll bless them, that you'll meet their need and whatever they... Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will continue to deal with that person. Lord, I'm not meaning to embarrass them in any way and will not do that. But, Lord, I know that you want to save them, and today is their day of salvation. I pray, God, that you will cause them, Lord, to call upon your name, confess their sins, believe in their heart that you died, that you rose again for them, and that you are their Lord and Savior. And Lord, if they will pray that prayer, believe that in their heart, Lord, they will become a child of God. Then, Lord, they need to get connected in a great church like this, Lord, and read your word and be taught the things of God. I pray for those hands that was raised right now in Jesus' name. Now, is there anyone here this morning that says, Kenny, I need healed in my body? If you need healed, you need a healing in your body, lift your hands up. Come on, lift your hands up. A lot of people here. Lift both hands up right now toward heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus for healing to their body. I pray, God, right now, whatever the situation might be, Lord, and whether it's headache, whether it's stomach problems, Lord, leg problems, back problems, Lord, maybe there's things, and maybe there's some serious issues, Lord, of heart problems and cancers, Lord. It doesn't matter, because God, you heal them all. Lord, your word in Matthew 8 and 17 says you take every infirmity and every disease. I pray you touch them right now. Right now, heal their body. Remember when I started, as a man thinks, so is he. Walk out of this place and say, I'm healed today. I'm healed today. Come on, say it with me. I'm healed today. Today is a day for healing. Healing is for today. Amen. Now, Now, anybody here that says, Kenny, I want this 1,000 times blessing that you talked about today. I want it. I want it. Lift your hand up right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, all these hands was raised. I want 1,000 times more to come into the life. Enemy, you have no right against a child of God. Because Jesus Christ is bigger than you. He's whooped you before, and he'll do it again. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, 1,000 times more increase come upon their life now. And Lord, financial blessings come in their life. Prosperity come in their life. I pray, Lord, things that money cannot buy, of happiness and peace and joy, salvation for their family. I pray, God, for jobs. Lord, job, better jobs for them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now. I have this card, Lord, of things, of an offering of thanks, Lord. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses and benefits, sales, commissions and settlements, estates, inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises. I pray, Lord, they even find money, bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties, Lord, received. I pray the favor of God will be upon their life and increase and promotion. I pray, Lord, restoring everything that the enemy stole from them. And I pray, Lord, that you will increase them in every area of their life. I bless them right now and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Praise him for it. How you think is how you are. How you think is how you are. God bless you. I'm going to turn to the pastor. Apologize. I went over just a little bit after 12. Please forgive me. Don't hold it against me. Okay? God bless you.